With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Mark from Guitar Nerds here with a quick reminder that if you want to get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week, you can just go to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $5 a month you get an extra weekly episode, and from $10 a month you can be one of our executive producers of the main podcast itself. So patreon.com/guitar nerds. This week we're talking about our pedal brands. If we could only have one pedal brand, what would it be, and what six pedals from that brand would we use? So patreon.com/guitar nerds, get signed up, get extra weekly content as well as the occasional interview, and you know, we're going to start doing some other kind of exclusive stuff on there as well. So yeah, patreon.com/guitar nerds. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Jay Cross.
Hi, Mark.
And Joe Branton.
Bonjour.
It's been a bit of a rush today. It's been a bit of a rush today setting things up. So if you're watching live, there may be a bit of kerfuffle while we get everything sorted.
It hasn't been a rush at all. It's just that we're watching the football.
Yeah, we were sort of watching the England game going on today. And it's meant that we sort of put this together pretty quickly. Anyway, so if you're joining us live on Amply.fi, thanks for that. Jay will be in the chat, chatting away to anyone who's there about any of the topics this evening, or you can suggest things you want us to talk about. Please.
We'll probably ignore you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I won't ignore you. I'll include you. Joe Branton's the kind of guy who probably will ignore you.
I ignore most people.
You do, indeed. And they all ignore you. Anyway, how's it going? How's this week been?
Yeah, lovely. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. What have you been up to, Joe Branton?
What have I been up to? Oh, I went to a gig last night. I went to see Aurora.
Okay.
Which is a pop act from Scandinavia somewhere. I can't remember which.
Okay.
Which one of those countries.
But, good to see you on the ball.
Yeah, but she's very good. I really like her live band especially. I was really... I saw her at Latitude Festival recently, and I'd also seen some live videos. And whilst on record, I think she suffers a bit from the sort of... this sort of Radio 1 overproduced... let's make all the drums sound like an entire African band sort of thing. You know, like really Tom-heavy, super drama pop that's going around at the moment. Live, I think it's much, much better and more original. And the band she uses seems to be the same everywhere. Her guitarist is her bass player, stroke guitarist, because he plays a Fender Pawn Shop Bass 6.
So he is a bass player.
Well, yes, he is. But he lays down sort of a lot of sort of the low lines because they have three synth players.
Okay.
As well, so
he
lays down he lays down some sort of low lines with that, but then does a lot of stuff with like loads of delay and then loads of tremolo picking up the high end, which sounds great and really sort of gives it sort of a really thick filled out sound. It's great, absolutely brilliant. So it was really cool to see him at a small venue because it was at Concord 2 as well. So that's
not that small, is it?
600, something like that, for those people who don't know. 600. Yeah. So what sort of amps were they using? Or do you think it was like...
There were no amps on stage.
So all going into a laptop, basically.
He had something sort of off stage to his right that I couldn't see, that he messed around with a little bit at the start of the show. He had a large pedal board though, and he had something like some sort of floor switcher that was allowing him to have drone notes underneath.
Okay.
Some of what he was doing.
Wonder if there was like a, you know, for example, an ES8 or something like that that was triggering like a, I don't know, a MIDI hold or, you know, yeah, audio sample.
Yeah, it would have been something to that effect. But yeah, it was great. He made up loads of sort of the sound, despite, I guess, a Bass 6 being...
Could all just be on a mini disc instrument in the back.
No, of course, yeah, it could well have been, yeah.
That tape.
But he was great. Got a bit overexcited at the end and threw his bass, forgetting, I guess, that he had to do an encore.
And, nice.
but yeah, it was good.
What, threw his bass into the crowd?
No, or? Sort of just like took it off and lobbed it on the floor and then had to come back and do an encore.
And like retune.
Spent an alarming amount of the start of the song like on the floor with his pedal trying to get back in tune. But yeah, it was really good. It was really good. Other than that, I'm still recovering from tour.
Yeah, you've only been back a week, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's been busy though.
Hard party. Yeah. You, another thing that you saw this week, I guess, were the new Fender Offset.
There's been some cool stuff this week, actually.
Do you want to talk about those a bit briefly?
Yeah, sure. Well, actually, I mean, it's not just those. We've seen the first 2017 Gibsons have started to land as well this week.
That will lead into something that we will talk about in a little bit.
Actually, oh, okay. But, I'll leave off.
Mark and I did a little bit of prelim.
We went and saw some guitars, didn't
Gear
we?
Of the Year research. We went on a little excursion holding hands to a guitar store. Nice. To your guitar store.
Hey.
And we did see the first 2017 that was in there.
On My Guitar Shop's Facebook page, we posted a little video of one of the new standard T for traditional, as it's now a thing. Everything's either T for traditional or
HP.
Yes.
High performance.
High performance.
That was the same as last year.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, I just didn't care as much last year. I really liked the 2017.
Yeah,
lineup.
Post the 2015s when they forced the high performance features on you. Now you get the choice. And you had that last year as well.
Yeah, much better. But the new standard T, we did a little video on the first one that came through the door, which was a Lemon Burst.
That was a good looking guitar.
I thought so too. Massive amount of abuse on Facebook.
Yeah. Really?
People,
why?
Like, really getting hammered. Oh, because Gibson are the brand that people love to hate.
That is true.
Even though they make better guitars than everyone else and clearly are the best brand, everyone thinks they know better, don't they? But and that's what Facebook's for.
Yeah.
Airing your completely unfounded opinions. Social media
manager Joe Branson.
I hate people. But no, it was good. I really liked the new Standard T. I thought it was a totally cool guitar.
Yeah.
And I actually really liked the finish. I thought it was original but tasteful. And actually, it's not a new color. They did it like maybe 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, I mean,
they've been
standard,
doing it since like the 50s.
Yeah.
Well, yes and no. Those guitars eventually went Lemon Burst.
Fair enough.
But yeah, those were cool. And of course, all the offsets.
Just before you move on, did you see any of the weird ones or did you only see like a standard?
I've only seen...
We haven't seen any Firebird Zeros or anything yet.
No. The nothing weird, and there's some question over what of 2017 is going to make it into the UK.
Yeah, I've heard some dodgy-sounding rumours that we maybe aren't getting everything, which is quite weird, because when they were announced, they were all announced with UK pricing.
Yeah, but now we're getting like a Brexit-lite allocation. So Gibson just aren't interested in sending stuff to isolationists. So we're getting a limited
The
selection.
Views of Joe Branton aren't necessarily representative of the Guitar Nerds podcast or his employers.
We're not going to get everything now. And I think that's going to be something that the UK is going to start to suffer with. But anyway, they are the ones that have got here are super cool. But no, we've got the Explorers, the Flying V's, and the standard Firebirds—they've all turned up. As have a handful of the Les Pauls, the Gold Tops, the Studios, and the standards.
I wonder if the S series is not going to come over, which is the custom studio. Is that right? Which is the thin-bodied one that looks like a the Paul?
Possibly.
The Firebird Zero and stuff.
We're 100% not getting the M2s. That is not going to be a UK release.
Okay.
So that's a shame.
I mean, that was never on that initial list anyway.
No, it wasn't. That's true.
Okay.
So that's a shame. I really wanted those. I thought they were totally cool.
Yeah. A bit weird.
And we'll see. And also, I was speaking to some people about, you know, how excited I was that there was such a complete left-hand range.
Yep.
And it was pointed out to me that actually Gibson claimed that they'd do this back in... like 2010 or something like that, and nothing
just
ever came
didn't.
Of it.
No, yeah. No. So. Well, I mean, I seem to remember there being... I don't think it was 2010. It was that they did a whole host of left-handed guitars in the tribute models.
Right.
In 2013 or 2012. And, like, those guitars weren't particularly successful.
Right.
And, like, the 50s, 60s, and 70s tributes. It was the... I think it was the 13s, because I think 2012 was when they first introduced those, and then they changed the '70s tribute from mini humbuckers to those Dirty Fingers.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
And they were a little bit more popular, and I think those were the models that you could get left-handed. But from what we can gather, and we never got an official answer from Gibson about it, but they had those guitars in stock even just before I left the shop a year ago. Like, they were coming through on the price, on like what was available.
Right.
So like, we reckon that they just had so many of those guitars left, they weren't making anything else because they wanted people to buy the stuff that they'd made and couldn't sell.
Yeah.
Well, obviously that was only ever speculation on our part.
Well, I mean, I recently, actually this week, I had to get a list of left-handed models that Gibson had, because the guitarist in my band wanted to buy something.
Go for Les Paul or something.
Wants to buy something, you say?
Yeah, yeah.
But what, you're not looking to get an endorsement?
Get an endorsement. It's your normal Joe Branton's racket.
I know, but you can't get those for Gibson, which is a shame. Otherwise, I'd be on it. But anyway, so yeah, you'd be surprised how many left-handed things are still available from like the 2013 catalogue and stuff there.
It's
still sort of huge backlog. Actually, he's going for the SG Junior.
Okay, cool,
the black SG Junior. Yeah, I went and sorted it out.
Does he not need
today.
A neck pickup?
No, just P90 in the bridge. Should be
just
fine.
Change guitar.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, just take multiple guitars.
Yeah, that's what he'll probably do. But yeah,
good. Just quickly,
in light of the M2 not coming over here, he's decided to go for an SG Junior.
Just quickly before we need to move on.
Yeah.
What about the new Fender offsets?
Oh yeah, so they're great. So,
oh yeah.
So listeners and viewers, if you haven't checked out sort of the little video ads that Fender have been circulating, nice little bit of marketing
they
by Fender.
Doing,
I thought those ads were really good.
Fender are normally rubbish at marketing. They normally do nothing, but this is like they've done nice little videos, sort of explaining everything.
I like someone's comment on it that said, this is what it looked like when grunge died. Thought that was like very apt.
Well,
when you start making guitars specifically for grunge, which is kind of what they're doing at the moment, it's over.
Well, yeah.
And one thing, just talking of Fender advertising, something that I've noticed a lot recently is they're really...
Domino's Pizza's ads on Facebook?
But no, speaking of... Gibson sort of pushing those older models onto people. In almost every video and picture that Fender have put out recently has been either a Fiesta Red or a Sonic Blue Nashville Telly.
Yeah, well, they've just done new ones.
Yeah, but like, they didn't need to do new ones. Nobody wants a Nashville Telly. Nobody wants a Nashville Telly. Like, they're not good guitars. And
have you tried one of the new ones though?
Well, no, but I had one of the old ones.
Yeah, but you never
know. And I got rid of it at the first opportunity.
You never know, the new ones might be really good.
I think they've dropped the Nashville part and they're just calling it the Deluxe Telecaster.
Yeah.
But I think they're really struggling to sell those because they've been really pushing those at every available.
They are brand new.
I know they are brand new, but they've done a lot of new stuff recently.
Yeah.
And it's just, you see it in like every picture now.
Yeah.
And I just sort of think, like,
I'm sort of warming to it. I don't mind it.
I mean, the problem is, as well, is that they've done them in, like, they've done those guitars in cool colours. It's like, just do, the standards or the specials in those colours, and people will buy them.
Yeah, if you could buy just a Mexican standard strat and Daphne blue,
or Fiesta red, people will go absolute bananas for it.
Well, have you seen the offset colour range?
The offset colour range is great. Well, we did a rundown of it.
Oh, we did.
Or
yeah.
Maybe it was when you weren't.
No, I don't know. Possibly last week. Because I was talking about how much I loved the green, and you guys are colourblind or stupid.
No, but the Capri yellow, the Capri orange one is the one that looks.
Yeah, that looks great.
It looks so good. It looks that in for the SS version. The single coil.
Annoyingly, the P90 versions are yet to get here.
Oh, really?
And got the other things and the bases. Yeah,
the bases look cool.
Great idea, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I said the opposite, I think, a couple of weeks ago.
You've changed your mind.
No, only because, I completely respect that they're trying to bring the Mustang into a modern landscape.
Yeah.
And it just didn't with the old Mustang pickups. I would always favour something with a traditional spec.
Yeah.
And so I love the original Mustang for that. But it didn't take off. Like,
no, but I think it's great that they've done such a range of these, such a range of them, and like they. But the only thing is it's like, what's taken them so long? People, like, we've been clamoring out for these guitars for 10 years.
Yeah.
We've been like, there's been hardly anything available, and it's just like, Why we're half watching the football.
Why
has it taken so long for a range of Mustangs like this to come out? You know, obviously we've got, there's been like a decent selection in the Squire Vin Mod range, but like, even they weren't great. Like those Squire, the Jaguars and the Jazzmasters were good, but the Mustangs
were pretty poor.
Yeah, they were a little bit.
That bridge is difficult to do.
And now that they're doing something that's hardtail, you know, or strung through, I think that's absolutely fantastic. You know, what a, like, just a proper player's guitar. You know, it's great.
Yeah.
They're great.
Talking about things that are pretty and exciting colours, yesterday I took delivery of two more pedals for our Guitar of the Year, Gear of the Year considerations.
Oh, yeah?
The first one being the JHS Pulp and Peel.
Pulp and Peel?
It is,
indeed. Can we guess what sort of effect it is? Just like
on the quiz.
Guess what colour it is.
Is it orange?
It is orange. Guess what it does?
Pulp and Peel. Is it a compressor and a drive?
It is exactly that.
Oh, my God. look at that. That's an appropriate.
Did you really just guess that?
Yeah,
that
was it. Yeah, because pulp is for compression.
Yep.
And peel for some drive. You know, peeling
so,
back the. Whatever.
Peeling
yeah.
back the what?
Let's not go there. So, my thoughts on it are, straight away, it's a very good compressor. It's one of the best I've ever heard, I think.
How big
really?
Is it?
It's like MXR size.
Oh, sweet.
It's based apparently on an old Dan Armstrong compressor, I want to say. Or it's based on a vintage compressor. It sounds fantastic. Like, brings out loads of top end, loads of sparkle. You don't get any kind of, like, I don't know, like, sucking, like, tone suck out of it.
Yeah. What controls do you get on the compression side?
There is blend, which is good.
Always an essential, especially for using on bass, actually.
I was going to say, for a guitar pedal, that's pretty rare. You get, I think it's like amount of compression, tone.
Hold on, I'm looking. So it's a drive as well, but it's just a single foot switch.
Volume, blend.
So you've got volume, compression, EQ, and blend.
Yep.
And then you have a toggle switch called dirt. So actually, this is kind of more in line with the Pigtronics Philosopher's Tone.
I don't remember what had the drive it, sounds like on that.
It had a grit function.
Which on the... Sorry, I say Philosopher's Tone. But
Philosopher's Stone? Philosopher's Rock?
No, Philosopher's Rock was the one where it had the little switch. That was the one I was looking for.
Yeah. Right,
so
okay.
Philosopher's Tone, the grit was just on a rotary. So you could turn it off if you want, but it was full control. Whereas on the Rock, it was just on or off.
So I really, really like the compression. I'm not a huge fan of the drive.
Was it a bit not enough?
No, almost too much.
Really?
It almost steps into kind of fuzz territory.
Oh, that sounds cool. Because that was the problem with the Philosopher's Tone.
Not enough gain.
Yeah, it was almost like having a bit of sort of fuzziness alongside your clean. It always sounded like it was just noise on top of
you
a clean
can
sound.
Do that with this, with the blend control, because the blend not only blends in the compression, it blends in the drive as well if you've got the drive on.
Yeah.
Personally, I think if you were looking something to as just to kind of make gooder a pedal, as we've talked about before, this would be a perfect pedal. Just leave cheap, the though. Compression halfway up. I know, it's £205.
It's a bit of a step for JHS, isn't it?
No, they all their stuff
are
pretty high end.
Much money?
Yeah, they're, okay. they're but this is fantastic. This is what they've submitted for Gear of the Year. So once we're all together, we'll have to let you guys hear it.
Yeah, I really want to go and give it a go.
We're going to just basically have a day of just playing loads of pedals and talking about them. It's going to be good. And not just pedals. We've got some guitars coming. We've got amps coming. Exciting stuff.
Yeah, I'm totally up for this.
We should maybe, because there's been a little bit of chatter on the Facebook group about what exactly is going on with Gear of the Year. I think people are a bit worried that there's... I think maybe we should just...
What?
Clear everything
Why
up.
Why are people worried? It's going to be the same as it is every year.
Well, yeah, but we've sort of allowed... previously, what's happened is we've just said these are the things that are in Gear of the Year, whereas now what we've done is, as well as us doing that, we've also gone out to manufacturers and said, what do you think is your best product that falls within these categories? Would you like to submit it for consideration for Gear of the Year? That doesn't mean that they're going to win. No. You know, we just want to... Yeah, I think it's important for us to explain what the process is and how we're going to go about exactly what we're doing.
The problem on the Facebook group is I describe them as contenders for the Gear of the Year, which they technically are, but at that point, I'd not even plugged them in. So they're potential contenders for...
well, I mean, everything's up for consideration at the moment. And, you know, it's one of those things where I'm dreading it as well as really looking forward to it.
I think we're going to film everything this year as well. So if you like watching the video component to this podcast, we're going to film the 5 hours of deliberations.
It's a long time, though. We are always exhausted and hate each other.
Yeah, I know.
By the end.
That's why you'll see it on video this year. You'll see sweat.
Me and Jay
tears
are normally
and a bit of blood.
Completely hammered as
Yeah, you are usually quite boozed.
By the end of it, I'm good.
We're also, I think, are we going to be filming Beer of the Year, doing the Marshall, Gordon
we'll
Smith, and
that,
Iron Maiden beers?
I mean, we can maybe do that sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, we should not do it before the Gear of the Year.
Some of them,
that'd be bad.
Some of them might be entrants in Gear of the Year.
That's true. They might fall under best accessory or weirdest product. Weirdest gear. We'll see. So the other pedal that turned up was the...
Have Marshall released anything that might win Gear of the Year other than this beer?
The beer,
I was going to say.
The code?
Have they released anything that might win?
No, wait. That's unfair. We've not had a lengthy
session with the code.
In
fairness, we haven't had much of a try.
Marshall have done...
JCM 825.
Yeah, that's true. They've got a new... Tefl range of saucepans. Yeah, they've got a range of saucepans. A range of saucepans suitable for induction hobs. Yeah.
What? You're joking.
Yeah,
aren't you?
I am. I am at the moment, but 2 months
Teflon.
Down the line.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
Teflon.
No,
that's
Teflon. Teflon's teaching English as a foreign language.
Oh, right.
Yeah, saucepans that do that. Anyway,
that's a qualification.
The other pedal.
Well, Marshall will probably jump on that too.
The other pedal that turned up, talking about Marshall, was the Pedal Power Effects JCM 800 emulator, which on the Facebook group it was pointed out they should have just called it the JC emulator.
Yeah, I was trying to think. As soon as I heard that, I was like. As soon as I read that, I was like, well, they couldn't have called it that because that literally just says JCM, which is going to be an infringement of the Marshall copyright. And
but
then
it's
I
called
saw,
the JCM
it's
emulator.
Just called the JCM emulator.
Really interesting. Definitely a nice counterpoint to the Marvel Drive.
The Marvel Drive, yeah.
It sounds like... I need to A-B them, I think, and that's something that maybe we should do for YouTube, is get them both together because... It definitely sounds different to the Marvel Drive. Marvel Drive is thicker, and I think it actually sounds more like an 800, whereas the Pedal Power Effects, I think, sounds more like a slightly Pedal Power Effects.
Pedal Power Effects, yeah.
Sounds a little bit more like something a little bit more modern, like a DSL 50 or something.
Right,
it's got just a little bit more of a kind of open sound to it. But we'll definitely do an A-B on those. Mm-hmm. Came from... Brazil, I want to say something like that, somewhere in South America. Pedal Power based.
Cool.
It's a cool, interesting pedal.
I'm very interested in that as well because I know that there's very, I mean, it certainly was the case, you know, sort of 5 years ago, very little in the way of distribution from the sort of the big brands in South America.
Yeah.
When we were working in the shop, you'd call, like fairly regularly. We would find that customers would fly over from Brazil and Argentina to the UK to buy a Gibson Les Paul or a, you know, actually, I don't think it was quite the case with Fender, but I think certainly with Gibson. And I'm sure, I'm sure they were paying the customs charges when they were...
Yeah, of course, when 100%.
They were, but, you know, they quite often you would find that because they it was... In some cases, it was cheaper for them to fly here than it was for them to import stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
and have it shipped from the US or whatever.
Well, Pedal Pal seemed to do a range of pedals, like a whole range.
I'd be really interested to know, who, you know, who else in South America
is doing stuff.
Is doing stuff because you know, I think in a similar way for why not much in the way of European and American stuff is getting to South America. I don't think there's a huge amount of South American stuff making its way here.
We also, as well as getting pedals sent through to us, you and I went on a little recce this weekend, didn't we?
Where did you go?
To go and find some.
My lovely.
Where do you go? We went on Saturday to go down and try some stuff out at a friendly local guitar shop.
We brought them a coffee.
We did. We bought them some coffee and stuff. Look after the boys and girls.
You don't know anyone at the guitar shop anymore. You guys are too old.
Yeah, we're too old school.
They're all mine now.
Tried some stuff out, and few things actually stuck out that we were not expecting.
Very eye-opening.
So, stars of the trip, I would say, were the DV Mark Gen 15, which is something that we've never spoken about before.
I can't believe you're talking about this on
because
the podcast.
Because we did not even know that it existed. Now, despite your strange
blind hatred of Mark-based
stuff, they actually make two products that... Well, they make loads of products that are good, but they make two new ones that really stood out on this kind of trip. The Gen 15 is a tiny all-valve guitar head that sounds like a Fender Twin, or, you know, Fender kind of like, you know, blackface models. Really good, like really good. Really nice reverb in there, which I think was a digital verb. I don't think there was room for it.
Yeah, I think it was digital.
Spring reverb
yeah.
tank. But if you wanted something like Fendery sounding and super small, I can't think of anything else that does as good a job. And it's not mega money. I think it's like $399.
I can't remember. I was just about to look it up.
Something like that. So yeah, highly impressed with that. What else was there on the guitar front, Jay? That
One of the Yamahas we played was that's $399 that head.
Yeah.
One of the new Revstars.
Yeah, one of the Yamaha Revstars. We played the one with Bigsby, and that was great.
Which
that
is the 920B, I think.
Yeah, we played a couple of the cheaper ones.
They're okay on there. They're good for the money, but
they
the one that we tried was cheaper.
It was more expensive.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
The cheap ones are the ones with uncovered pickups and that are very basic, come in simple colours.
Yeah, we tried one of the ones with the satin finish top with the like chrome, like brushed chrome pickups.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Which pickups? Humbuckers or...
Humbuckers.
Right.
Which I think is the top end one. And then the Bigsby one, which has got more sort of like Gretsch pickups in it.
Yeah.
With a Bigsby, I think is not the most expensive. But that was the best one, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That was really cool.
They're great. They're absolutely brilliant. There are, I think, for me at the moment, those, and specifically those ones with the Gretsch-style pickups in, along with the Gretsch Streamliner series.
Yeah,
which I really want to try a couple of those.
We've got one of virtually everything in there. But again, they're like guitars that are all sub £300 or £400.
Yeah.
And they're brilliant. I just kind of think there's this, like on the traditional guitar front, those Yamahas and those Gretsches are doing things that Fender and Gibson aren't able to do at the moment for the price point. They're great. I mean, they, you know, they come with their caveats because of their price point.
Yeah. But I mean, you say that, like the Streamliner?
Streamliner.
That's what the Gretsch is, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, for the you know, for the money, compare one of those to an Epiphone Dot.
Yeah.
You know, like night and day. Those Gretsches are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely really good guitars.
Really good guitars. Yeah. So was there anything else that jumped out? There's a new Mark Bass head. I know that we're not allowed to talk about Mark Bass because of your...
No, go on. Go on, talk about him.
No. So the one that I really liked and didn't know existed was the Mark Bass Nano 300. Nano Mark 300. Yeah. 300 watts sounded... fantastic.
And it did sound really, really good.
The best thing is that it's even smaller, which, of course, the size of a head, as everyone knows, directly affects your ability to play and its sound.
Well,
what you really want is, in fact, if you can get no head, that's
what
probably
you mean,
better.
Like a sand amp?
That is probably better than buying a
no
mark
head.
Base.
Well,
bigger, mate.
It Jay is, for those listening, Jay's offering Joe a sand amp. No, I mean, it sounded really good.
Right.
Controls are really good.
And you'll need a sand amp on the floor because it doesn't sound like anything.
It sounded great. It sounded really aggressive.
Honestly.
No, it didn't.
It did.
No, it didn't.
Really aggressive compared to the other.
You can't make a solid state head sound aggressive anyway, so you're already lying.
Unbelievable. So.
Well, not solid state, sorry, Class D. You can't make a Class D head sound aggressive.
So we tried some other mini heads. We tried the PV Mini.
Mini Max.
Mini Max.
Actually, quite into that.
No.
It didn't sound anywhere near as good as the Mark Bass.
Not. Anyway,
we AB'd it.
Yeah.
It sounded
a little bit choky.
It sounded fine.
It did. It sounded a bit choked. Yeah.
It was Class D's.
It was maybe it was the camps that we were going into, but it was quiet.
Yeah. The Mark Bass, because we wanted to get a kind of good look at the new bass heads that are out there. And obviously, the bulk of stuff now are these mini heads, portable.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Warwick have actually put out a really good small
one. Yes, had a quick look at it. Didn't get time to try
it. The wood panel one.
Yeah, it's got some.
Oh, no, that's the LH1000, which is a great looking head.
very diplomatic
of
you.
Thank you. But they released another one that's a tiny sort of thing. I actually, when I was at the London Bass Show and I was walking around, there was some fella that I sort of recognised from, like, I think he writes for Bass Guitar Magazine.
Okay.
And he was very pompous. He was walking around with his...
I'm sure he's a lovely fella.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know who he is. I can say he's pompous. You know, no one's going to know
I mean,
who
that's
is.
What they would say about you.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, probably the most pompous person
so
I've ever
had,
met.
So he had his own, like, custom-built bass.
Good sounding word, that, isn't it? Pompous.
Pompous is good, isn't it? Yeah.
Pompous. Anyway, what were you saying?
Joe Pompous Branton.
he was walking around with his own custom bass, and he was trying out loads of different heads. And I happened to be on stands a lot when he was there, but he was going around trying out every mini head.
Okay.
In order to buy one. And I saw him, like, and everyone's there, so he tried out everyone's. He went to Mark Bass, you know, he went to PV, he would have gone everywhere, and he bought one of the Warwick ones.
Okay.
So he bought it at the time that I was trying to negotiate an endorsement from Warwick, which they didn't give me. But
just took one look at you and were pompous.
Yeah, probably.
we tried those bits, very good. And a Gibson, not from the 2017 line, actually, that stood out, the ES275.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which is basically like a mini L5, isn't it? So much more kind of jazz oriented than my usual fare. But in terms of what was on the Gibson wall, that was the thing that really stood out.
Really stood out. Something very different and very... just a really cool, exciting...
I just think Memphis are killing it at the moment.
Yeah, really good.
Gibson Memphis are putting out the best stuff they ever have at a time when Nashville seems to be going off the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
I mean, they've only been producing electric guitars for, like, 5 years.
Oh, yeah. I guess so. But it's all really bloody good.
It is, and you're right. It's sort of besides the point because they are really good guitars. Really, and, like, there was a bit of resistance to it initially because, so maybe sort of 5-6 years ago, every hollow body or semi-hollow Gibson was produced in the custom shop alongside the custom shop Les Pauls and this, that, and the other. And then in order to sort of make things easier and to produce more stuff, they shifted production from the custom shop to the Memphis factory, which is where they were building a large proportion of the acoustic guitars. And initially, there was we found a lot of resistance to it when that initial change was happening from customers who were saying, I don't want a Memphis one. Do you have any Nashville ones left?
Yeah.
And we were saying, like, for some people it was a big deal that they wanted a Nashville one. It's like, okay, fine, we can't help you. But once that sort of transition happened, and it was okay. Now all that's left is the Memphis ones. People started being like, "Oh, well, yeah, all right, I'll give it a go." Great guitars, great guitars. And I think you're right. I think it has taken a little bit of time for them to sort of get the processes in place and find their feet a little bit. And you know, there's some wicked guitars in there.
Yeah, I think
all of us totally paused there because England had a shot.
Daniel Sturridge just did a little 360 turn and then nearly scored an incredible goal. Sorry.
We should not have the football on in the background, is what we've learned from this. So I need to try that again. ES275. I think that was a super cool little guitar.
Was it 275? I'm sure 245?
I'm sure it was 275. I can't remember. We'll need to look back up at it again. It
looked very similar to that Scotty Moore guitar. Yes. What? That was the 225, I think, wasn't it?
Maybe that's a 275.
No, I think that's a 225.
Okay, we need to do some more research. Yeah, like I said, this wasn't a final trip, nor was it conclusive. So definitely worth trying some stuff. One last bit of kind of guitar nerds news this week before we move on to the actual news is that this is going to be our last broadcast on Amply.fi.
Yeah.
We are doing, it's been super fun and really enjoyed the community and stuff on there and you guys in the chat. From next week, we are going to be broadcasting on YouTube rather than through Amplify. And we really want you guys to join us. So if you don't already subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/guitar nerds videos, I think if you subscribe, you'll get an email or some sort of notification when we're live, but we're not sure.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
We're going to change the time and day yet. We may well do. We're thinking maybe switch to Mondays at 8 UK time.
Oh, I thought
UK
we weren't changing.
Well, we haven't decided this yet, but maybe go to the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum.
And we'll give you
all the details. But yeah, just thought that we should let you know in this episode.
Should we change?
For people listening, through RSS, through the podcast app, nothing's going to change.
Nope.
Everything's still going to get downloaded as...
The podcast might come out on Tuesday. If we switch to Mondays...
Nobody's going to have to do anything different. The podcast will still just download automatically.
Yes. Exactly.
But, we may change the day...
Automatic.
Possibly.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
Maybe it'll change to Tuesdays, but we'll see.
Today's Tuesday.
Yeah, maybe when the podcast comes out, it'll be on Tuesday.
Oh, I see, sorry.
So we'll do the thing live on Monday on YouTube, and then the podcast...
Monday Night Live.
Indeed. Monday Night Nitro. Monday Night Raw.
Maybe we should do it like Friday.
No.
I tell you what we should do.
I'm never available on
Sunday
Fridays.
At about 9 a.m. How's that sound, Joe?
Yeah, sounds great. I mean, I'm always up that early on a Sunday.
Sunday at 8 a.m.
Joe?
So the insider joke here, everyone, is that on Sunday mornings around 9 o'clock, the other three all decide to break into conversation on our group iMessage, which is a time, probably the only time of the week, that I get to sleep. So it's
Why are you asleep, mate? It's a great time to be
up,
awake
doing
and
stuff,
doing stuff.
Making a nice breakfast for your significant other, getting projects done, actually doing some guitar nerds work.
I do work.
And yeah, that's why we're all chatting, because we're all up doing stuff, mate. What are you doing?
Fine.
So yeah, that's the Big Guitar Nerds news for this week.
There's a little bit of local jokes for you here. Mike Crabb in the Amplify chat said, you can't change to Monday at 8 p.m. It clashes with the Snooty Fox pub quiz in Three Bridges.
Oh, okay,
which
fine.
I've spent a lot of time in, because that is the train station that you have to change to if you want to go to Horsham, which is where my parents live.
Anyway, I feel this has been a very rambly podcast. We're 36 something minutes in.
Whew.
And
we're about to start the Nude Men.
Did we just do the news?
No, that was the intro.
Our own news. Yeah, that was the intro that was 36 minutes long.
Crikey.
Where's Matt Knight? We need him back to restore order. So, we probably haven't got time to do all of these news stories.
So miss the first one.
Okay, fine. So, G&L have just announced a brand new bass, the Kiloton.
The Kiloton.
Kiloton.
It's such a good name.
So, I'll leave this up to you, Mr. Bassman.
Well, G&L, cracking company that they are.
Yep.
Leo Fender's last foray in guitar and bass manufacture.
Good word.
Thank you. This is funny. It's funny that this has turned up. So the Kiloton. It sounds like something from Robot Wars.
Yeah. So Kiloton.
Yeah. So this is essentially G&L's Music Man Stingray, which is funny because it comes at a time when, of course, Fender it's a couple of years in now, but released their Dimension Bass, which is their version of the Music Man Stingray, and Music Man have released their Cutlass, which is their version of the Fender Precision.
Yeah, all this stuff is getting quite confusing. Like, I saw a picture of this and thought, that's a strange Precision Bass.
Yeah, so this actually is quite interesting, because they've gone for the body is very much a Precision Bass style body, slightly fatter in the lower areas, the butt of the body, but with a very sort of P bass style scratch plate. So the controls are in the scratch plate rather than a separate metal control panel. But it just has one of the standard sort of 8-pole.
Music Man
style
G&L pickups. Style pickup, because that's the same pickup that's on, or it's similar looking to the pickup that's on their regular basses, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. Controls are interesting.
Okay, are they not just volume and tone?
Yeah, but there's a little switch.
Okay, what does it do?
It doesn't say, but I'm
glad you've researched this.
But yeah, I've researched it. It's a three position series split and parallel.
Yep. So as you'd expect.
Yeah.
It's like the Music Man basses have.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
On the five strings they do.
Yeah.
But not on the fours.
Okay.
You get it on the, not on the Stingray, but on the Sterling.
Sterling. Yeah, yeah.
The Sterling, not the Sterling
Man Stingray.
Music Man Sterling.
Ernie
Sterling
Ball.
Yeah. So confusing. But yeah, they look great. Looks like they're going to be hitting the shelves at around $1,400.
So they'll come in roughly the same price point, I'd imagine, as like a Stingray.
Which
pretty much.
Is strange for G&L, I think, to sort of
normally
aim themselves
underneath.
Yeah, they normally aim themselves slightly more.
These are proper
affordably.
G&Ls, though, aren't they? They're not the kind of budget range that they do.
No, that's right, yeah.
The Legacy, is that right?
Yeah, that sort of thing. So, The pickup is one of Leo Fender's actual designs.
Okay.
It's his MFD pickup, which he designed with G&L. So
mother flipping.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dorks.
Don't know what it stands for, but yeah, really cool. So G&L come to the sort of Stingray party. Another high end sort of Stingray on the market. I do kind of feel that it's a bit oddly placed. I think Fender have really done everyone with the Dimension Bass, because they've managed to introduce it at every price point, because they did a Squire Vint Modified, they did a Mexican, they've done an American, and there's an American Deluxe.
That is weird, isn't it? There's two American versions of the Dimension. They really went heavy on that for a little while.
Well, they were really trying to sort of force people into not thinking it's rubbish. I don't
this
think
this is a success, because we make loads of them.
Exactly. So cool, interesting bass. I just think at that sort of price point, you're competing with the top end of Fender and Music Man themselves. So I don't know if you'd do that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But nonetheless, it's something new.
Another big news story this week. Dennis Fano and Eastwood Guitars have teamed up to announce the Revolter guitars, which is a weird name.
Fano and Eastwood have hooked up.
They're your two like favourite things.
Well, this is great, but we love the Fano guitars. And when they announced recently that they were making their Les Paul Junior style.
Yep. I can't remember what it's called.
And they weren't, me neither, but they were making that, and they were going to make it as something that people could buy rather than it being a custom order. I mean, yep. It's still expensive. I think it was still like $2,500.
Easy. Cheap.
For essentially a Les Paul Junior. But, yep. I mean, the Fano guitars are absolutely stonkingly brilliant, and they are sort of custom shop quality. So it was great that they'd introduced that, but that was kind of the closest I thought we were going to come to sort of affordable Fano. But now, this hook up with Eastwood means we're getting super affordable Fanos. Now, I'm not sure what I think they are Eastwood on the headstock.
No, there's a new brand. I think it's Revolta,
really?
Is the brand.
Oh, is that the name of the brand?
Yeah, Rivolta.
Oh, yes, it is. I see now.
There's only one model so far, which is called the
Combinata.
Yes, which is based, if you go on their website, it's based on the original Rickenbacker design.
Right.
And yeah, 2P90s. Yeah. You've got the story there. What's the body made out of? Are they
mahogany? So it's hollow mahogany.
Okay.
And Duesenberg Les Paul trim even.
Not on that. You get the choice actually between just a wraparound bridge and the trim. The fret markers are super interesting because they're based on the original Rickenbacker design as well. Like having a whole fret that is
completely pearl.
Yes, mother of pearl. They look super cool. I mean,
I think they're really great. Yeah, love the finish. It's got a little bit of Eastwood to it.
Yep.
Great.
Is there pricing on there as well?
No.
Okay.
That's a shame.
I think they're not cheap. They're not Eastwood price.
That's what I was hoping for.
Closer to Fano standard price, I think. So, nice little bit of kit and good seeing
out.
New collaboration.
Check out the Revolta Combinata.
Easy.
Or
easy
just
to
check
remember.
Out anything by Revolta. This is great. I think this would be really interesting. Even they are a bit expensive. Nice for Fano designs. We know they make incredible guitars, so for them to be doing something in partnership that's a bit more affordable, perfect.
Definitely,
brilliant.
Definitely. Should we do brand of the week?
We certainly can, yes.
You said that you've sorted one out, but you didn't share any notes. So
no, I know.
We're as in the dark about, are you just going to make this up?
No, I just wanted to make you think that I hadn't done any research at all. So let's get ready for
Brand of the Week.
And what brand am I going to think of to talk about? I'm only kidding. I'm well prepared for this. This week's Brand of the Week.
I don't believe you ever.
But I am. You can see I've just brought up the notes.
No, I said you brought up the notes. You've opened a web page.
Is that the Fender Wikipedia page?
Yeah. That's exactly it. So I'm going back to basics this week. We're talking... No.
Fender.
This week's Brand of the Week is Electrical Guitar Company.
Okay, exciting.
Exactly. So the reason I wanted to talk about...
Don't
these,
just read their web page.
No, I'm not just reading their web page. The only reason I brought this up is because they're about made more sense to read from than me making notes.
Okay, good.
That were just the same as what was on the about page on there.
Tell us about Electrical Guitar Company,
so,
Joe.
If anyone doesn't know about Electrical Guitar Company, they are one of several guitar manufacturers at the moment who make aluminium, completely aluminium guitars. Yep. They're actually one of the only ones that have kind of survived to modern day, because of course we had the Travis Bean aluminium guitars, which whilst they didn't start it, we actually talked about the brand that started aluminium guitars on Brand of the Week a few weeks ago.
Yes, I can't remember the name.
No, me neither.
You Dan, put this together
Dan
every week.
No, I think no. I'm the first people to try aluminium guitars was Wandra.
Yes, you're right.
So certainly Travis Bean was, I guess, the first company to really bring it to...
That was the one that you see, or you used to see a lot, actually. Mm. For some reason, particularly in Brighton, I don't know whether there was some sort of big market for them, but maybe 15 years ago or something, like, if ever you walked into like a pawn shop or like a weird secondhand shop, there'd always be a Travis Bean kicking around.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish I'd bought them all, because you could sell them to this sort of market now.
Well, this is actually the... I mean, if you remember them sort of being around in the early 2000s, Travis Beans went from sort of being a bit niche to being super expensive. Yeah. Like, their prices were shooting up on the secondhand market, which actually is what led to the beginning of Electrical Guitar Company.
Okay.
The guy who founded it, Kevin Burkett, was playing in bands at the time, and found around 2003, was finding that he was being priced out. Because he couldn't afford them.
Couldn't buy the beans.
No. So instead, he bought a load of aluminium.
Right.
And went round loads of like car body places. What would you call it? Body shops.
Yeah.
Doesn't your dad run one of those?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does, yeah.
Can we get him to make some...
Body shop.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, body shop.
Your dad runs a body shop?
Yeah.
With like the face creams and
stuff?
Yeah,
yeah. Right, that's
okay,
right. Good. No, yeah, he went around loads of car body shops until he found someone who was willing to sort of make it into a guitar. And he found someone who was willing to do it, and then managed to get that person to train him up to be able to do it. And he started making his own guitars. I mean, God knows why he needed more than a couple, but he decided to make his own. And then a few years later, he decided to start selling them. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've only made, like, it's not very many. You think of them as being like a massive company, or at least I do. You think about them as being pretty big?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to judge, really, because they're so eye-catching that you've probably seen every single one of them. You know, they pop up on Instagram, or they pop up in the hands of a certain player in bands and stuff. So it kind of skews it a little bit, because you think there's probably loads out there, but actually it's just because you've seen everyone who's bought one's one. Yeah. How many have they made?
Less than 1,200.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, well.
That's an alarmingly sort of small amount. But then I guess they're still sort of...
Since when?
Very
when
much
did
a
they
custom
start?
Shop of two people. 2003, I think it says.
That's still quite...
Oh, no, 2003 is just when he decided to make his first one. And then some years later...
So they are... I mean, that's not bad going, really. 1,200 in maybe, you know, if it's like 10 or 12 years.
Yeah. I guess
100
so.
Guitars a year. That's a lot.
It's very much a custom shop job. So, yeah, I suppose so. I suppose that is good. But, yeah, great, great guitars. If you haven't checked them, go to the website, electricalguitarcompany.com. Have a look at their range, because they're really interesting. Actually, the part of the reason that I wanted to do these guys was because the Melvins play Electrical Guitar Company. And, of course, the Melvins have just formed a band with Omar... Rodriguez Lopez,
God's sake,
and Terry Genderbender from The Butcherettes, girlfriend of Omar Rodriguez Lopez, called Crystal Fairy. So that was part of the reason.
Makes me want to punch my own face.
Also,
who's in it then?
Sorry,
who's in that band? King Buzzo.
Yeah, and one other.
Okay,
I only know.
He's such a good guitarist.
Yeah, he's the one with a signature model. Electrical
EGC, really?
Yeah.
Okay. With this brand, what's the score in terms of like models and like what is actually custom and what is off the shelf?
Well, this is cool. So they have a range of... They have their models, which are standard, which is kind of a double-cut Les Paul. They do a bass with Series 1, which is basically a Status.
Yep.
They have Series 2, which is like a reverse... offset.
It's a Mosrite
sort of thing, which is actually the guitarist, one of the guitarists from Mutiny on the Bounty plays those ones, Series 2 Electric Guitar Company. So they do a Jazzmaster called Series 5, and they do a sort of... do you remember the Dan Armstrong Ampeg guitars?
Yep.
They sort of do that...
The Plexi one.
Yeah, they do that body shape as the EGC 500. They do a Tele, the TT1... and a sort of 72 Tele, which is the TT2.
Yeah.
And they actually do like...
A Travis Bean reissue.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
What sort of money are they?
So we are looking at sort of between $2,000 and
$3,000
a model. I really like their sort of how much choice you get, though, for that sort of money. So I'll go through it with you. I'll talk you through it. So... on their site, you can go to their buy section. You select your type of model. So I'm choosing from the classic model series. You choose baritone, guitar, or bass. I'm choosing a guitar. I'm going to do one of the EDC 500s, which starts at $2,900. Then I can select the neck thickness and scale. So I'm going for the shortest scale I can with the thickest neck I can, which is telling me it's an extra $200. Then I can select my orientation, which I'm sure you can all guess. And then
right-handed
neck finish, I can choose polished or brushed with wax seal. So okay, let's go brushed with a wax seal. I can select the radius. It only gives me one option, 12-inch standard. I can select fret markers, black
That's
dots
standard.
And white dots.
One and a half.
Yeah, I can select I can select
Maybe
how
they
many
can't
frets.
Cut the aluminium that.
I can select how many frets.
Maybe it's to do with the chunkiness of the neck. Sorry, we're just filling because essentially
it
was this man looks at computer.
It shouldn't be to do with the chunkiness of the neck. It might. I wonder if it's to do with the
keep going, Joe.
The ability to shape the
aluminium.
Maybe because it's less. Because presumably it's
but then
less
why,
malleable.
Why
than
put
a,
it as an option if you can only do one? I think it's
well, I'm
more
sure
that,
some of the others.
You could do one, mate.
Nice. So
yeah,
anyway,
there's
what we're saying is there's lots of options.
Well, what I was trying to get to, you get down to body material and you choose between aluminium and acrylic, which is quite cool.
Oh, so you can have like a see-through.
Mm, yes, but you can also have coloured acrylic, which is quite cool. And anyway, then you choose any pickups you want and you choose your electronics in there, bridge style, things like that, which is great. It gives you a price at the total, a room for extra notes, what string gauge you'd like on it, what tuning you'd like them to put in it, and then you pop your order off, and they have a 6-month turnaround for the
guitars.
That's
a long time, isn't it? But it's a lot of money, so it's worth it.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I think everyone should go and have a look. I think they offer some really cool sort of modern looking guitars, if that's what you're after, but some great sort of traditional alternatives to Travis Bean, to the Dan Armstrong Ampeg guitars. Cool stuff.
Definitely, definitely. Chap, should we move on to some questions?
Yes.
Questionable motives.
So I put it out there that we needed some questions for this week. So we're going to take most of these from Facebook, but because it is our last Amplify stream, I feel like we should probably take some from the Amplify chat as well, if there are any.
Yeah, we have had one.
My phone, which has all the questions on, is playing up. So Jay, give us the Amplify question first.
So there was a question in here from Michael saying, has anyone tried the PV Piranha, which I guess came out of us talking initially about Gear of the Year, because that's a new one for this year, isn't it? The Piranha.
Is it
a new one for this year?
It is. It only came out very, very recently.
Yeah,
like,
do we not have that?
It's
a really, really small one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I thought it was on Gear of the Year last time. Well, oh my goodness, it certainly will be on this Gear of the Year, and I really like it.
They are, in fact, sending us one to try for Gear of the Year, so hopefully, we'll have some more detailed impressions fairly soon.
Now, this is the sort of small amp that I can buy into.
Okay.
Because it's
a guitar amp and therefore nothing you ever really would need to use.
Because it's actually like the size, it's handheld.
It's the same size as the Marl bass we were talking about.
No, that's not the point. Bass is
big. I've had like Sony Walkmans smaller than that Marl bass amp.
Bigger than that
Marl bass amp, sorry.
Right, well, anyway, regardless of what you think or say, the Piranha is actually quite good. What did you think of it?
I haven't tried it.
Oh, okay. It's not tried one yet. There is one incoming, so hopefully this week we'll get one to try it.
Super cool. I mean, again, like, I do think whilst Class D works really well for bass, it's obviously a little bit more dodgy on guitar.
Well, you say that, but I really like the Micro Terrors. I thought they sounded really good. They were a Class D output.
Yeah. And can you record straight out the back of the Piranha?
Yeah.
I believe you can.
That's cool.
Yeah. I think it's a really cool tool to have.
Because you can't from the Micro Terror, can you?
No.
See, I kind of think that the Micro Terror is going to be one of those things that we look back on in the same way that I look back on the Tiny Terror.
I think,
which,
like,
is,
this is the first one of something really cool.
And it's
really
like, actually, this wasn't a very good amp.
Yeah.
I think we will have that nostalgia of it, and then once that nostalgia sort of fades away, we'll be like, actually, this isn't great.
The Micro Terror
is, it's cool, it's cute, and it's like, it definitely serves a purpose, but like, there are some other things that they really should have been doing to it, you know, to like making it be able to be record, like being able to record out the back of it or yeah. whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. So the answer is that you've tried it, Joe.
I've tried it. I think it's a great tool to have on your desk.
Yeah.
If you've got sort of a home recording setup and you need something to go straight into that's always going to sound good, I think this is it. I think it's a great, super affordable product. Understand the price point, though.
Of course.
And sort of respect that that's going to give you limited quality on how good it is. I mean, I'd use it as a writing tool. I wouldn't take it much further than that. But nonetheless, for being...
No, I think you gig with it.
Isn't it sub 100 quid?
I think so. Yeah,
I think it's like 85 quid. And I think for that reason... it's a brilliant tool.
I think I'll get a chance to play with it over the weekend, I think. So hopefully I'll come back next week with some more detailed impressions. So, right, Paul says, I really want an envelope filter in my signal chain. So one, what would you recommend sub 125 quid? And where should it go in my chain? Thanks. Envelope filter.
Ooh, tricky.
I guess it depends.
There's that one that you had that then I had.
The
MXR.
That's not really an envelope filter. It was a Univibe.
No, that was the one that I had that then you had. So I gave you a Univibe and you gave me an envelope filter. That's the way around that
wasn't
exchange
happened. Wasn't that a bass
happened.
One, though?
Yeah.
It was a bass
was it? Or was it bass specific?
Yeah. Bass specific one. It depends what you want it for. And I think actually you can do this fairly cheap and cheerful if you wanted to. We've often talked about the Digitech Bass Synthwire, which has got a decent envelope filter on it, and you can pick them up secondhand for 15 quid or something, 20 quid.
I don't think they're that much new, are they?
They were
£35.
Yeah, they're discontinued now, I think, aren't they? Plus, also another one you can pick up nice and cheap, which I've mentioned before, is the Line 6 Otto filter, which is from, you know, when Line 6 were doing their single pedals that were kind of quite chunky. Yeah. But that would certainly do it. I really like that. It's got a really good humanizer function and the envelope stuff, and that's really good.
I really actually quite liked the Boss Auto while I thought that was really cool. That gave you, you talk about the humanizer, that gave you a start and finish vowel.
Yeah.
So you could select between which vowel it started on and which vowel it finished on.
I believe that's the same with the Line 6 as well. But I guess the classic ones would be Qtron in some form
essential.
Or another.
Do you know what's really annoying about this question? I keep trying to find it, and I don't think I had it in an email, but my shop had just about to start stocking pedals from this new Brighton pedal manufacturer.
Bright Onion?
No. I think it's Doctor something.
Okay.
And I can't remember.
Doctor Pedal.
It's like Dr. Nightmare or something like that. Anyway, I'll find out for next week because he does loads. And some of them are really cool, like a pedal in, like an old NES controller and things like that.
Oh, what? And he's in Brighton?
Yeah.
Why is he not sat here right now?
I know. I'm going to try and get him on the podcast.
That'd be cool.
I was talking to him. He's just got an Instagram account, essentially, for his pedals at the moment. And we're going to be stocking the only ones. But they look amazing. He also did the complete range of superheroes from... The Watchmen
as pedals,
and the comedian is a Qtron copy essentially, which is really cool. So I would have
fully
loved
licensed.
I'd have loved to suggest
that.
I'd have loved to have suggested that one if I could remember the name of the guy.
Well, you're really doing him a service.
Well, we'll talk about it next week.
Definitely.
We'll talk about his whole range of pedals because some of them are amazing.
Let's try and get him on.
Definitely.
If he's only around the corner, that sounds awesome. So, Paul, there's a few options there. The Electro-Harmonic stuff, if you want something classic, I guess, but if you want two cheap options, because envelope filter, you know, you can use it for some stuff, but I guess it doesn't really fit every genre. So if you're just thinking about dabbling in it, the Digitech Synthwire or the Bass Synthwire, actually, even on guitar, sounds really good.
There is a Nano Qtron now by Electro-Harmonix.
The Nano Qtron would be really good for not spending too much money. Or the Line 6 Otto filter, if you can find one. I was always really, really impressed. So, let's do one more question, and then we'll take the rest of these questions, I think, to the Patreon episode.
Yeah, sure.
Because we haven't got anything lined up for that this week. Because Matty sort of gets involved with that usually. So we'll do some questions and stuff. I'm going to do Scott's question about amp in a box over on Patreon, because I think that's something we could talk for quite a while about. So let's do a quick one. What do you guys want to talk about? Which of these questions is good for
Maybe
you?
The last one.
The last one? That means I have to scroll down a bit. Okay, Will Smith.
No, that's not the last one. The last one...
I'm reading from a different thing.
Oh, okay.
Will Smith says, bass amp versatility. What's small enough for home and loud enough for small gigs? Joe Branton.
Small enough for home. We should do a guitar one last, shouldn't we? I'll answer this one quickly.
And then we'll do another one.
Yeah, okay.
Small enough for home, loud enough for large gigs.
Just head, did he say?
Small gigs. No, what's small enough for home and loud enough for small gigs?
Just a head?
It doesn't say.
Right, okay.
It says bass amp.
Right. Small enough for home, loud enough for small gigs. Depends how small the gigs are.
Okay.
I think the minimum that you should go to a gig with is 300 watts, really. If you are talking about virtually no drums, then maybe you could do something like a 250-watt amp. Or, in the case of Orange, they do their 100-watt, their new series of Orange Crush Bass, and they have a ported 100-watt combo, which is, as with everything Orange, is deceptively loud for 100 watts. So I think we'd just cut it. Otherwise, I'd say on the combo front... And I hate saying this because I don't like it, but the TC BG250.
Definitely, yeah, small enough.
Yeah, 250-watt single 15. They do it as a 210 as well.
Okay.
A combo. Comes with their tone print feature built in. Actually, two tone print features built in. If you're not aware of what that is, it allows you to download an effect of your choice from the Tone Print app on your phone directly through your guitar and into the amplifier. They have two dedicated rotary controls on the head of the combo for that. So you could download, for example, a drive, and that rotary would be the gain on the drive. You could have the second one being an octave, and it would be your wet to dry mix on the octave down, or something like that. You could download anything, which is pretty cool. They also have like an artist section on there with loads of effects made by people, including Billy Sheehan. So anyway, they're really good, and they're like £350, so super affordable. What I quite like about the volume control on the BG250s is that it is gated so that 0 to 5 is home use and 5 to 10 is gig use. So there is a little bit of a weird jump in between there, but it's for the best because it means that you have smooth operation between 1 to 5 for low volumes. When
you're not just wrestling between like 1 and 2, basically, which is always the most annoying thing on small amps that can also do loud stuff, is that you have to get that balance between like 1 and 2 in your bedroom, and then jumps up to 5 when you're out and about.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. But yeah, I'd say either of those.
That sounds cool. Really good. There is one last question and some feedback for
Go
you.
On.
Robin says...
Where are you taking these from? Why aren't these the questions that I've got on the thing that you send us?
I mean, if you listened, I said I've got these from Facebook. I asked them today.
Oh.
Robin says, will Mark ever admit his true feelings for Joe? And the feedback is from mine, who said, Joe's been off his game recently. His performance in the quiz was disappointing. Maybe it's the booze. But I remember when I started listening to the podcast, he was the voice of the practicing musician rather than the bedroom/internet guitarist. It's only a matter of time before he regains his form. I don't think that's true. With my regards to my true feelings about Joe, I mean, obviously, he's a complete and utterly nice guy.
Have I been off my form recently?
Yeah, I think maybe it's the booze. Maybe it's the booze.
I've tried to stop drinking recently.
You weren't drinking today.
I didn't drink today.
And you've been really nice to be around.
Exactly.
Like,
I only had one beer on my lunch break at work today.
It's weird that, like, you know, normally you come in and, like, have to open the windows because, you know...
Bit of booze smell.
But, like, it's been fine today, mate.
Sort of like an oil rig.
I'm cutting down. I'm going to be booze-free soon.
I mean, you don't drink any more, do you? But you don't drink any less either, so... Anyway, for more of this comedy gold, you can head to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $5 a month, you can get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds audio content every week, plus the occasional interview. This week, we're going to tackle a couple of questions from Facebook, actually, about amp in a box pedals, and also a really cool question about if we could only use one brand of pedals each again, what would it be, and which six of their pedals will be used?
You know, what's funny is that sounds like a really interesting episode, and if you hadn't, like, 2 minutes ago been like, we haven't planned anything for Patreon, no one would have noticed.
We could have just got that. Well,
No one would have noticed.
This is why I put the shout out. I placed the bat symbol in the sky above Facebook and said, Help us out. Right. We need stuff.
The Matt signal.
It's the Matt signal. That's the problem. We put the Matt signal out.
What are we doing next week?
Oh, he's God. Not here then either. He's in Japan. Anyway.
He's flying to Japan right now.
Patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $5 a month, you get all that stuff. And from $10 a month, you become our executive producer, like these people.
Yeah. Andy Joyce, Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Carlos Mancha, Andrew Marco, Mark Cross, J.D. Short, David Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Brad Pitt, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstice, Moog Gravit, Colin Anderson.
I bumped into Moog Gravit this weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, it was great hanging out. Because I've not seen him since... I've not seen him IRL since I left the shop.
Oh, yeah. We did the in-store, the live one?
Yeah, or maybe after that.
Oh, really?
Because he's come in the shop all the time.
Yeah.
And I walked in and he was trying out a Gibson Les Paul.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a little chat about that, which is great because he's looking at... He put it up in the group that he was looking at trying one of those and that he was looking at getting one. And he was trying that.
Oh,
and
nice.
It was cool. Yeah, he popped
Give
in.
Give us a so shout. Nice, and nice I'll to bump do your into deal. Him. Yeah, just, I like Moog. I agree with everything he says on Facebook.
Yeah, Moog's great. And also, as it happens, I also walked past him on my way home, but I was... We just didn't get a chance to say hello.
Talking about meeting...
I don't think he saw me, actually. I was in the middle of a conversation with someone else and I couldn't stop, that's why.
Talking about meeting in public, I think we're going to be going to the Great Southern Guitar Show or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah. South and I'm going to be... Show? I'm going
to
be...
shackled
exhibiting
to
the, at the...
Excuse me?
I'm going to be...
That's the end of the podcast. Joe's going to be exhibiting at a guitar show.
Yes, I am.
If you want to see that, do go and check out their website where there's pictures of Joe exhibiting.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the website?
No, is it bad?
It's just weird. The website for the show.
Yeah.
The show looks like it's going to be great, but it also looks like whoever's put the website together isn't 100% aware of what the internet is.
Okay, good.
But yeah, I think so.
They've got it on computers now. It's weird.
So, if you're going to be at the Great South of England,
oh, it's terrible. It's owned by the company that runs
the Great
Northern
Guitar Show.
The Great Northern Guitar Show.
It's called the South of England Guitar Show. If you're going there, let us know in the Facebook group,
because we're
going
to be there. Come buy us a coffee or something,
or we'll buy you a coffee maybe.
Probably not.
Facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Let us know if you're going to the show there.
Buy me a gin.
Make sure you go to youtube.com/guitar nerds videos and get signed up there, because from next week, on either Monday or Tuesday, we are going to be live streaming. We're going to put details in the Facebook group to tell you when we are doing it. Just one final thing before we sign off. Thanks very much to the team at Amplify, who some of them may be watching this live. I know they've watched it in the past. And been really cool. Thanks for all your support. And hopefully, you know, we've brought some people to the service and stuff as well. Thanks very much for watching and listening this week. We'll see you next time.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Farewell.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.